If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 10, beginning in verse 6. There is none like you, O Yahweh. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. What a great two verses, Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. Well, today is a special day for Debbie Shreve and me, and it is the day, the brand new book that we have, The Devil's Newsroom, goes on sale. It's been on Amazon for pre-sale, but today is the day that it's going to be released, and we're excited about it. And I have Debbie in the studio today with me. And if you'd like to see her pretty face, you can go to Facebook, American Family Radio on Facebook or YouTube, and you can watch us as we talk about the brand new book that Debbie was very, very involved in. So, Debbie, tell us how you feel about the new book coming out today.
I'm so excited about the book. It feels like we have just been... we found out 10 months ago that we were pregnant, and now today is the birth of the baby. And so it's a very, very exciting day.
Exciting. Now, you know my voice.
Yes, I do.
And how I...
Quite well, actually.
Yeah, you know that better than anybody. So you took it upon yourself to really work the manuscripts that we had.
Yes.
And now Jeff wouldn't say it like this. He'd say it like that. Helped me a lot because I'm the worst... doing a book because I write it and rewrite it and rewrite it.
And that is, the worst is probably not an exaggeration by much. It was a grueling process for sure.
Well, it was. And for those that don't know, writing a book is like giving birth.
It
takes a long time and all the editing and re-editing and rewriting and adding this and deleting that. It seems like an endless process.
Well, and the manuscript isn't even all that's involved. You know, that's one thing that I learned in this process is there's so many steps along the way. And so I was grossly involved in every single step in the process and kind of oversaw all of that with another gal in our office, Gabby Shannon, who was like my right hand. I could not have done it without her. But it was a lengthy process. And in the process of it, it was exhilarating. It was frustrating. It was overwhelming. I mean, just the gamut of emotions went into it. And I learned a whole lot. I will never, ever look at any published book the same again.
Mm-hmm. Well, for those out there, pastor friends and others who have written a book, especially as a pastor, you know, it doesn't change the fact that you got all your other things to do. And
right.
So this is in addition. So you work on it on the weekends and, you know, find time here and there. And there are deadlines. And
yes.
So it's a great feeling when it's done. And here's the thing. So I'm a volunteer at From His Heart Ministries. I've never taken any money from His Heart, no salary, no income at all, and wrote this book. And you know, all the proceeds go to From His Heart Ministries, and so I feel good about that. You know, this isn't like, hey, buy my book so I can buy a new car. If you bought 100,000 copies, that doesn't change anything for me.
But it would really help the ministry. I encourage you to do that.
Yeah, there you go. So, Debbie, did you want to ask me some questions?
Well, I thought I would just kind of talk a little bit about how we came up with the title of the book, as well as just the cover of the book, because those things don't just happen. I mean, they're very methodical in how that process goes about into coming up with the title and making the cover to be eye-catching, to make it one that would be intriguing so that people scrolling through Amazon or scrolling and walking through a bookstore would, it would catch their eye and they would be interested in it. And so initially when we started the whole process, after the first round of editing that I did, and that was only the first out of four cycles of editing that we went through. But the initial title was Fake News, which is what the book truly is about, is mm-hmm. about the lies of the enemy and his fake news. But at the time that we were writing it, it was in the middle and the height of the political election cycle. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that because this book was not political, we did not want to use that title. And so Gabby actually is the one who came up with the title of the book, The Devil's Newsroom. And then we had a subtitle, Muting Satan's Fake News and Tuning Into God's Truth. And so from that newsroom, that's where we came up with the idea to have the cover kind of look like the cover of a newspaper.
Right.
And so that's kind of how the whole thing evolved along the way. And I told Gabby, I guess, because I'm more artistic than you are, I think we would both agree
yes.
with that. I was very particular about how I wanted the cover to look, how I wanted the inside to look, how I wanted the pages to be laid out, how I wanted the art, some art and graphic work in there, as well as just text. And so I'm very proud of it. And you know, after you have a baby, you love your baby so much and you want everyone else to love your baby, right?
Yes.
And so let me just tell you, out of all the baby books in the world, this is the best one.
Well, there you go. So I've written two books with publishers that are, you know, well established. And that was Runaway Emotions,
mm-hmm.
Why you Feel the Way You Do and What God Wants You to Do About It. It had a long subtitle, but Runaway Emotions, all about emotions, negative emotions, how there's a message in your negative emotions. That book was really spurred on by my seminary teacher, Dr. Wayne McDill, who was my preaching professor. And he wrote a book, and I piggybacked off his book. His book was called The Message in Your Emotions. And so I asked him if I could take some of the thoughts in his book and turn it into a book. And he actually wrote the foreword for it, and he was all for it. And then this book, The Devil's Newsroom. So we are looking forward to this book, God using this book to touch many, many hearts, open eyes to the truth. And to be honest, Debbie, I think some people may pick this up and get mad. People, it's funny. I shared this yesterday, but Galatians 4:16, the Apostle Paul said, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" And so, you know, I don't sugarcoat anything in the book. It's like, here's the devil's lie, this is the truth. Now, I think there are a number of chapters that are extremely encouraging.
Yes.
The chapter on Peter and his great failure and how that gives hope to believers who have had an epic failure in their lives, that God's not done with you. The fact that I talk about, you know, Lamentations chapter 3 and Jeremiah, what he experienced in the fall of Jerusalem and how he was losing hope. But then he realized God's steadfast love is still there and his mercies are new every morning and great is his faithfulness. So the book is filled with hope, even in the chapter on hell.
Yes, it ends
with hope. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Mm-hmm. Although there are going to be multitudes in hell, it's not because that's the will of God. The will of God is that no one should perish, but for all to come to repentance.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, what do you think when you look at this book, what do you think just in our culture today, because we are just inundated with lies on every front. Any social media platform, any news outlet, more than likely you are not getting truth. And when you think about the book and the chapters that are in there, what do you feel is the most dangerous lie that's being spread in our culture today?
Well, the one that chapter 3, the world's most believed lie, is that you work for salvation. Salvation, works are included in a person's salvation, whether it's just be a good person and you get to go to heaven, as my aunt said in a conversation we had years ago about my Jewish uncle who didn't believe in Jesus, obviously. I said, well, what is, you know, I'm concerned about Harry's soul. And she said, well, I just believe heaven is a place for all good people. Now, she was a lifelong Catholic. And she just, it's like, well, where do you find that in the Bible? That's not, I mean, the opposite is in the Bible. God tells us over and over again, there's none righteous, not even one. So heaven's a place for all good people. Okay, well, there are no good people.
Right.
We're all sinners and we're all needing and deserving judgment from God. And so until you understand that there is none righteous, not even one, then you're just going down the wrong road. And so you have to back up and say, okay, what does the Bible say about this? And the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And the idea that it's, well, as people have told me, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. But I just think you have to add your good works into that. And I grew up Catholic, and in Catholic theology, as I was taught, you know, you never have assurance of salvation because you don't know if you did enough. And
that's a scary place to be.
Yeah, I asked AI the other day. I said, we were talking about, I was asking questions about the papacy. And I said, does the Pope have assurance that when he dies, he's going to heaven? And AI came back and said, no, because no one has assurance in Catholic theology that you're going to heaven. And I said to AI, I said, well, 1 John chapter 5 says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. And Grok was like, well, yeah, it does say that. That's kind of, you know, gums up the work, so to speak. And he didn't put it that way. But it's just, it's sad because people can know, and salvation is not rooted in the merit of man, as Adrian Rogers used to say. It's not rooted in the merit of man, but in the mercy of God. And if we have to work for our salvation, none of us will get it. But if we recognize we can't earn it, and we are in the crosshairs of judgment, and rightfully so, because we're sinners. And from that, we cry out to God for mercy, like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And we turn to him in repentance and faith. That's what he wants. Then he saves us. And he is the one that does the saving. We don't do the saving.
Yeah, if I thought that I had to be the one to earn my way in, what a worrisome, anxious life I would have to live. Because you would just have no assurance, you know, like I did good in the morning, but then I really messed up at 1 o'clock when I said this to this other person. There would just be so much stress, and it's very self-reflecting, where it's me,
right.
You know, because you're always thinking about what you're doing. Are you doing enough? You know, and I love that that saying that says, you know, Christianity isn't about do; it's about done.
Right.
You know what Christ has done, and that's such a freeing thing.
Yeah. So I have that quote in the book that there's true Christianity that's spelled done. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Every other cult, false religion, you know, whatever it might be, any other path supposedly to God is always a path spelled D-O. What must I do? I have to pray. I have to believe this. I have to go do this. I have to do penance. It's all these things that you have to do. Jesus, when he died on the cross, the second to the last thing he said before, the last thing was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But before he said that, he said, it is finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. Literally paid in full. And he paid for your salvation and my salvation when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And salvation is not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift for the guilty. And the Lord offers it to anyone who will come to him in repentance and faith. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, joined by my wife, Debbie, as we're talking about the brand new book, The Devil's Newsroom, on sale today. You can go to thedevilsnewsroom.com, thedevilsnewsroom.com, and find out more. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the brand new book, The Devil's Newsroom, that drops today on Amazon and other places. Where else is it, Debbie?
It's predominantly on Amazon.
Wherever books are sold on Amazon.
Yes, wherever books are sold on Amazon. They're our major distributor.
Yeah. And then thedevilsnewsroom.com, you can go there, and or fromhisheart.org, and you can get it there. But we're hoping that it ministers to Christians, and it opens the eyes of unbelievers to the truth that the devil is real. He is a liar and the father of lies. He's a master liar. And if we don't check everything by the word of God, Jesus said in John 17:17, in his great high priestly prayer, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, he's praying to his father, your word, Father, is truth. And so you have to compare everything. This is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I believe. Yeah, but can you find it in the Word? Does the Bible back that up? Because the Bible is our true north spiritually.
Can I just add this caveat, because we have not mentioned this yet about the book, but if you go to Amazon to look at the book, which I pray that you will, I encourage you to do that, but the book comes in three different forms. It has a hardback copy, there's also a Kindle copy that's available for download, and then it's on Audible. And we had the privilege of going to Austin for Jeff to record the audio book, and he had never done that before, so this was a first for both of us, but it was such a great experience getting to record that audiobook, and I can brag on him and say he did such a great job. So the audio recording is really, really, really top notch.
And the audio is like 5.5 hours or something like that.
I don't remember exact time on it, but it was, it's just for those who like audiobooks. And that's a great option for you, is to download on Audible.
Well, and you read the foreword from Mike Huckabee.
Yes, I did. And then I read about the author.
Yes. And so when we put the book together, we knew Mike was up for the being the ambassador to Israel. And so it's like, well, what do we call Mike? Mike's got a lot of titles. He was a TV host. He was a former governor of Arkansas and lieutenant general or
governor.
Lieutenant governor of Arkansas. And then, but we said, hey, the biggest thing is the being the ambassador to Israel, but he hadn't been confirmed yet. And
right.
So there was a little bit of, those that didn't want him in there and were protesting. And it's like, I'm glad he made it.
Well, we also struggled with in the backlisting, you know, how people can view you, and one of them was TikTok. And so in the middle of all of this, TikTok had gone away. And so then, like, days before we were sending to print, it was like, it's back. And so we were able to put it back in. Yeah.
Well, it is a labor of love. You know, some guys are really wired to write books. That's just, they feel like that's my calling from God. That's just not like burning in my bones. Mm-hmm. Preaching is burning in my bones. But from the preaching can come a lot of books that can help a lot of people. And people that would never come to our church or watch a sermon, they can read a book or listen to a book. You know, that's the nice thing about audio or Audible, mm-hmm. is that lots of people can download that and listen while they work out or while they're driving in the car or whatever. And our good friend Dr. Chris Schroeder, that's how he reads books, is through mm-hmm. through Audible.
I listen to him when I walk. If we're not walking together, I always have a book that I'm listening to when I'm outside walking. And I was just thinking through the grueling process of editing, and I can remember at one point telling you, this is your final read through. Okay, you will not be able to change another thing after this edit.
Yeah.
So you are not allowed to keep reading this book. Do not read it again. Because just like you said in the last segment, you just are such a perfectionist, and that's a good thing. I'm not like that. Uh-huh. And so we are so opposite, and that was one of the things in the editing process that became so apparent between the two of us, is how different we are in our temperaments and our personalities and how we attack a project and all those kind of things, because we definitely come at it from completely different directions. And so I think the Lord taught us a lot just as a couple, mm-hmm. as we went through the process of bringing this baby into life.
Right. Well, we hope you pick one up, thedevilsnewsroom.com, or go to Amazon and look it up. And then for those that read it, we'd love for you to comment on it and
yes.
let us know what you
think. Good comments, because we love our baby. Just remember that. Okay, Jeff, one of the things that you talk about in the book, which I think is a very interesting concept that a lot of people maybe they've thought about that, but they haven't thought about it necessarily in this verbiage. And that is the difference between objective truth and subjective truth.
Right.
So expand on that a little bit for our listeners.
So we live in a world today where people talk about, well, that's my truth, that's your truth, that's his truth, that's her truth. Everybody has truth in the minds of people today, which is not true. There's just truth. And truth is not subjective, which means it resides in the subject. That's where you have my truth, his truth, her truth, your truth. That's in the subject. Truth is objective. It's in the object. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's just true. So gravity, the law of gravity, is a physical law that governs our world. And you can say, well, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to believe in the law of gravity. It still exists. And you're going to be governed by the law of gravity, whether you believe it or not. So you want to test that. You just climb up the tall building and jump off, and guess what? You're going to become a believer in the law of gravity. Now, it's a hard way to learn a lesson, but when it comes, and Bill Bright was the one that points this out in The Four Spiritual Laws, that little booklet that's sold billions of copies that he wrote way back when, I think in the 50s. But he says, just as there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, objective physical laws, there are objective spiritual laws that govern the spiritual universe. And the spiritual laws, as he gives four spiritual laws, you know, we expand on those in the Devil's Newsroom. But it's important for people to know that when it comes to spiritual things, it's not just whatever you want it to be and whatever your truth that you desire comes true. It doesn't. As I shared just a little bit ago with Jenna Ellis on her program, God is not who you want him to be. God is who he is. And he says that. We get that name from God, I am, where he told Moses in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, I am who I am. When Moses asked the question, you know, the Jews, the Israelites are going to ask me, you know, who sent me? I don't even know your name. What's your name, God? And God says, I am who I am. You tell them I am sent you. And from that, we get the special covenant name of God, the four letters, YHWH, that we translate probably more correctly as Yahweh versus Jehovah. But for many, you know, we still use the name Jehovah. But it's the four letters. It's called in seminary the Tetragrammaton. And that's who God is. So if you want to really know, okay, here's what I believe about God. What does the Bible say about God? Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. This is what God says about himself. The Lord God, Yahweh, Yahweh, Elohim, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will not leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. That is God. And as my seminary professor, Stephen Andrews, said, God is skewed to the good. He shows loving kindness for thousands, and he visits the iniquity of the fathers on the third and fourth generations. He is skewed to the good. God is so good, far better and far more gracious and compassionate and generous and kind and loving than our minds can comprehend. Yet he is the judge of all the earth, and he will judge rightly.
Well, you know, Jeff, I think we can all agree that our culture has shifted so much in the last few decades. And the things that used to just be understood and foundational truths are now absolutely in gray areas and in pencil. And I think so many people in our culture today, they look at things and they think, okay, yeah, well, things have changed. Therefore, God's word is kind of obsolete because mm-hmm. culture has changed so much. And that has become not necessarily something I need to base my decisions upon, I need to build my life on, that kind of thing. And the truth is that God has not changed one bit, nor has the truth of his word changed one bit. So as you think about these lies that are just inundating us from all different fronts, how can John Doe, Jane Doe, how can the person listening today, how can you know how to discern between a lie of Satan and what God's word says?
Yeah, great question, because the devil is a master liar. He's, as Jesus said in John 8:44, he's a liar and the father of lies. And so the liar and the father of lies knows how to lie very convincingly. And he knows how to, in an economy of words, you read in Genesis chapter 3, how he deceived Eve. He doesn't say a lot. So it's an economy of words that he gets Eve twisted into a pretzel, and she starts doubting the goodness of God. She starts to believe this lie that, hey, I eat of this fruit, I'll be like God. I'm not going to die. God's holding out on me. I'm going to eat of this fruit, and then I'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And God's trying to keep me in the dark, so to speak. So the way a person discerns good and evil, it says in Hebrews 5:14, solid food, the meat of the word, is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You have to spend time in the Word of God. You have to practice and read it and memorize it and study it. And it can't just be, as Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, a lucky dip in the morning. I just flip it open somewhere and say, oh, okay, that's my verse for the day. You have to take time in the Word of God. And I love it when it says, who because of practice have their senses trained. The word for trained is gymnazo, which means literally to exercise naked. And that's how the Greeks did it when they would go to the gym.
It's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, but they would exercise naked. It's a good word when you think about it. As I study God's word, I have to remove all the pretense. I'm not trying to present myself to God as this scholar. I just come naked before him, so to speak. I come honestly. I come openly. I'm not trying to hide anything. You know, Adam and Eve were both naked and they were not ashamed. I come before the Lord like that. You know, it was after Adam and Eve sinned that they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves to cover themselves up. So when I train before the Lord, I have a quiet time before him. I have to lay everything aside and say, Lord, here I am, all that I am. I want you to teach me. I want you to mold me. I want to learn your word. I want to know the truth and let the truth set me free. And the Holy Spirit is given to us as our teacher to teach us the word. And it says in 1 John, we have an anointing from God, and that anointing is the Holy Spirit who lives inside, and he teaches us and guides us in all truth so that we can discern what is good, what is right, and what is wrong, what is evil, so we can discern between good and evil. And the word for good in Greek is kalos, K-A-L-O-S, and the word for evil is kakos, K-A-K-O-S. And if you notice that they're very similar, those words, and I think that's for a reason, because the difference between good and evil, we may think it's, well, I can recognize that. It's like looking at a clock, and you know, if it says 2 o'clock and you just wake up in the morning and the sun is shining, well, I know it's not 2 o'clock in the morning. But the lies of the devil aren't like that. They're not a clock that's 5 hours wrong. They're a clock that's 5 minutes wrong. And so it makes it harder to determine. And that's why you have to spend time in the Word and train yourself in the Word.
Well, I know for me personally, I have had experiences with hearing things, and I may not at that moment know exactly why that's not right, but I have like a check in my spirit, like something about this isn't ringing completely true to me.
Right.
And anytime I get myself in a situation where I'm listening, I'm reading, I'm in a conversation, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden my brain just starts feeling just kind of discombobulated, and I'm all over the place, and I can't figure out what is exactly happening. I just know that's from the enemy, you know? And so for me, I just have to immediately say, Lord, show me the truth. God, give me wisdom and understanding and discernment to know the truth. And, you know, the Bible's very clear on that in the book of James, and Mr. Bible here will know the exact verse. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, we can ask God for wisdom and he gives it freely.
Right.
So it's not, he doesn't begrudgingly give us the truth. He
right.
gives it, he gives us wisdom freely. And so the best source of truth is to go to his word. And even if you can't find it in your word, Lord, show me, drop something into my spirit. Help me understand how to see this situation, how to see this statement that someone made, how to discern good from evil, truth from lie in that.
Yeah, and the Lord said, he told the disciples, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit, and he is your teacher, and he will guide you in all truth. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. When we hear things, it's like, is this right or is this not? And he will be faithful to guide us. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give us a call, and let's talk. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about the brand new book, The Devil's Newsroom. It just dropped today. It's available on Amazon today, and we're hoping that this book really speaks to many hearts, and that people get it and read it and give it to friends, neighbors, loved ones, so that we can expose the lies of the devil. The Devil's Newsroom is all about how the devil works to pump fake news into our minds and our hearts. So we believe lies about God. We believe lies about salvation. We believe lies about the circumstances of our life, that God doesn't love us, that God is done with us, that we can't be forgiven. Christians believe many lies, especially as we struggle in this life. If you're going through a hard time and you're not doing very well spiritually and you're struggling with sin, the devil will move in, tell you that you can't be forgiven, that God is through with you, that God doesn't love you anymore. The voice of Job's wife, curse God and die, all that stuff comes to you. And so how do we combat the devil's lies? We combat them with the truth of the Word of God. And so that's the thrust of the book, that we base everything that we believe on the Word of God. You have to find it in the Word, as the old Farrell and Farrell song says, and that's how we live. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Well, one of the quotes that you have in the book is this: we're all directionally challenged when it comes to life. We need the Word of God and the Spirit of God to guide us and to keep us on course. And in one of the chapters in the book, you kind of briefly hit on some popular topics, mm-hmm. and you don't expand on them ad nauseum. I mean, it's brief little summations that you have, but you talk about what God says about sexual immorality, what He says about gender identity, the sanctity of life, and just what God says about anything that God says, that's what's right, that's what's right. Truth. And so that's one of my favorite chapters in the book, actually, because, and it was our daughter's favorite chapter as well, our oldest daughter, because it's just very succinct as to why, okay, this is why this cultural argument for this topic, gender identity, this is why this is wrong based on God's Word. And so like you said at the beginning of the book, that might be, or the beginning of that hour, that might be one of the chapters that might make some people angry, but it's also one of the chapters that arms you spiritually to be able to have some discussions with someone who may not believe the same way that you do about these critical cultural issues.
Yeah, well, when you talk to people and you witness to people and they say, well, that's your belief, one of the things that you can do with them is when people say something that you know is wrong and you're wanting to bridge into a spiritual conversation or transfer that to a spiritual conversation, it's not that, well, let me tell you what I believe, but you can ask them, hey, do you know what the Bible says about that issue? And most of the time they don't, because, you know, for most non-believers, they're not very versed in the Bible at all. Sadly, a lot of believers aren't very versed in the Bible either. But hey, do you know what the Bible says about that? And point them to the Word of God. And that's why it's important for us to know the Word of God so that we can use it. You know, it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you go out to battle and you forget your sword, you don't have any offensive weapon. So a Roman soldier would never do that. And so you want to have your sword and you want to know how to use it. And if people reject, you know, they can reject what you say, but you remember Isaiah 55, what the Lord says, for as the rain and snow fall down from heaven and come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So anytime we can share God's word with people as we're witnessing, and it's not just your word, this is what God says. God promises, hey, that won't return void, and God will use that in people's lives.
Well, you know, one of the things that you talk about in the book is about the danger of doubting Scripture. So how would you advise people that struggle in that area, that they think, okay, is the Word of God, is this really true? is this something I can truly believe, that it's not some fictional book, it's not some fairy tale book, but this is truly inspired, God-breathed? How would you talk to someone about that?
Yeah, so if you study the Bible is not one book. It's 66 books put together, written over a period of over 1,500 years, 40 different authors, 3 different continents, and 3 languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. It fits together like a hand in a glove. All the prophecies in the Bible, they prophesy this is going to happen, and it happens. And sometimes in the prophecies of Jesus, hundreds of years later, but there's one prophecy about Cyrus that was given before Cyrus was ever born. 150 years later, this happens, just like was prophesied it would. And so a fulfilled prophecy shows that the scripture is not a human book. It's a divine book. And then the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He said he was going to rise from the dead, and he did. And that is a fact of history. You know, our faith is not built on wishes or fables. As Peter said, we didn't follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What we're telling you is an eyewitness account. And so people can have confidence in the word of God. If somebody says, well, I don't believe that, that's their choice. So as I said, they can say, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Okay, well, don't believe it then. Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to try and browbeat you to believe it, but it is true. And so it's, I think oftentimes about Noah building the ark. Well, I don't believe there's a flood coming. Well, that's your right. You know, you cannot believe there's a flood coming, but guess what? There's a flood coming. And if you get on the ark, you will be saved. And if you don't, you won't. And, you say that with compassion and love, but you tell them the truth. And so I can't make you believe, but I can let you know this is the truth. I can be a faithful watchman on the wall and warn you that the enemy is coming, and this is how you prepare for it. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, Pastor, and good morning, Debbie. I love listening to you, Pastor, whenever I can get time to get you.
Well, thank you.
I have
you.
A question about the book.
Yes, sir.
I'm legally blind, and there may be others. I have to have a special thing to try to even see. Is it possible down the road that some of your books might be done in video format so somebody could get them and listen to them?
Well, Debbie, you want to answer that?
It currently is available on audio. So if you can purchase the audio book where Jeff reads it himself. So it would be a great, great tool to listen to. And you can get that on Amazon as well. So it's not a video rendering of the book, but it is his voice reading the book.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I need. So
yeah.
We're there for you, Dennis.
I love you both.
Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that, and thank you for calling. Yeah, if you go to Amazon, The Devil's Newsroom, you can get somebody to set up the audio book for you, and I'll read it to you, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. So thanks, Dennis. Well, we have Raul on the line, our friend Raul from Texas. Raul, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. I'm so glad that you wrote this book. I have family members that don't read their Bible. When I quote scripture, they doubt me. But I just said, just look it up yourself. And, they believe that if you have a good heart, you know, God will get you'd be in heaven. And so if I suggested for them to read your book, they would reject it because they reject just about everything else I'd say. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a family member that I trust and love, and she is a Christian. I'm going to have her read the book and then ask her to recommend it. And they all love her and respect her. So instead of going through the front door, I'm going to go in through the back door and have my family accept the book from someone else. And God, I hope, and it's my heart's cry that they turn and read the word and, understand it and live it. because they're not living it, and I see it, and it breaks my heart that they're not. Mm-hmm. And you know, they think that I'm just a person that Mr. Know-It-All. You know, right. When I quote scripture, there he goes, quoting the Bible.
Right.
But I want them to live it.
Right. Well, let me give you some encouragement, Raul, because you obviously love your family as I love mine, and we pray for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Psalm 126, verse 6 says, "He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." So I used to pray that. I said, "Lord, I want to bring my sheaves with me." And but the fact that you care for your family like that and you pray for them, even with tears, God takes note of that. When we're that committed and we want our friends, neighbors, loved ones to come to know him in a real and personal way, and our prayers are mingled with tears, because we have such a passion for them to know Jesus, that is a blessing to the Lord.
And Raul, I just want you to know that as a staff at From His Heart, we have been praying over this book for months, that it would have the impact that you just talked about, that it would reach those people that maybe up to this point haven't necessarily been reachable and haven't been open, but that God would use it in such exceeding abundant ways. And we have been for months and months praying that God would do just that. And we know, based on God's word, that his word does not return void. And so we can trust him with that, and we can leave that in his hands, and we can trust him that he's going to do great things.
Yeah. So I appreciate it, Raul. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being such an encouragement to me. Well, we have time for one more call. If you want to call in, 888-589-8840, we'd love to hear from you. And so, Debbie, last thoughts, comments about the book?
Well, read it. Get it, read it, buy multiple copies and give them to friends. I think it really is a very easy read because it's very readable. It's not theologically so deep that you struggle to get from paragraph to paragraph. It's written in a very relaxed, approachable manner. And so I think that's going to be very good for people as they read it. They're going to find that it's an enjoyable read. We have a lot of pull quotes in it that when we were editing, we thought, man, this is a standout. This is a standout sentence that we just really want to emphasize. So we have those throughout the book in terms of page layout and things like that. So I think it's going to be visibly pleasing as well as just really a lot of information that you can use just in your daily life and to give you wisdom and discernment.
Yeah, so I talk about in the introduction watching Perry Mason with my dad. My dad loved lawyer shows, and Perry Mason was his favorite, and so we used to watch that together as a kid. And then when I was in college, I think one of those cable stations was playing old Perry Mason shows, and so we'd watch it. And always try and figure out who did it. It was never Perry Mason's client that did the crime, although all the evidence pointed to this guy's guilty. But, you know, that's where I learned the phrase, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?" You know, that's how they swore in the witnesses. Well, we need to know the truth, nothing but the truth, and we need to, as Christians, speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Truth is so critical because Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Without the truth, nobody gets set free.
Okay, Jeff, just in closing, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up the show today, you talked a lot in the book about Jeremiah, about the book of Lamentations. So just briefly tell us how we can use God's word to make those hopeless times feel full of hope.
Yeah, so Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah talks about the destruction of Jerusalem as the Babylonians came in and destroyed the wall and destroyed the temple, and it was so bad. It was beyond anything our minds can comprehend bad. That's why it's called Lamentations. It's the worst. But in the midst of losing hope, he remembers. He said, "Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope, because the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God is the God of hope. No matter what's going on in your life, remember that. God is the God of hope, and He wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing, as in, and to overflow your heart with joy and peace. So I pray that for you today, and take some time and meditate on Romans 15:13, a great verse, really probably the verse that resonates with my life more than anything. God is the God of hope. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. The Devil's Newsroom, go check it out on Amazon or at thedevilsnewsroom.com, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.